Hi, I'm Pat McCurdy with Insurrection Off-Ramp, the program that asks the question, would you buy a Bible from this man? Donald Trump responding to the question, should women be punished for having an abortion? Donald Trump.
The answer is there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
If you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
I've seen the humanity, and these humanity, these live like vermin. These are animals, okay?
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Check you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Grab him by the pussy.
J6 hostages.
Here's some cult deprogramming music for you with Bruce Elkar. His album, Road to Atlanta, featuring Matthew Hartz, Larry Brandon, Ray Leeds, Kenny Saunders, Robert Dobson, and Sam Elkar. This is called Babbling Brook. Sam Elkar and friends on Road to Atlanta album, Matthew Hartz and Kenny Saunders, who's another, Larry Brandon and Ray Leeds, and I want to thank them for doing some deprogramming, Babbling Brook, kind of a relaxing nature tune for you here on the Insurrection Off-Ramp, where there's an exodus of good people leaving the Republican Party. Lisa Murkowski is considering that. She's a senator. Ken Buck has left. Pence has left and basically told people do not vote for Donald Trump. Liz Cheney, as you know, left the House of Representatives. Mitt Romney is another one that is taking off and saying goodbye to the MAGA madness. Mike Gallagher, another congressman, has said goodbye. Adam Kinzinger and former Attorney General Bill Barr is simply called bullshit, and we'll have some of their comments right after this word from the Lincoln Project.
Put our security and American values first. A party born to expand liberty. A party of real free markets and economic growth that starts on Main Street, not rigged giveaways and special favors. Led by men and women of honor and courage, service and sacrifice. Leaders who never talk America down. That party is dead. We know why. We know who killed it. We're conservatives, not crazies. We believe in responsibility and accountability, in following the Constitution and the law, even when we don't like the results. We don't have to agree with Joe Biden on every policy issue. We won't. And when we don't, we'll say so. But so much is at stake in this election that it's time to put country over party and America over Trump.
President and almost hanging victim Mike Pence had to say about the endorsement of former President Donald Trump.
Pursuing and articulating an agenda that is at odds with the conservative agenda that we governed on during our 4 years. And that's why I cannot in good conscience endorse Donald Trump in this campaign.
Congressman Ken Buck recently quit his seat in the House of Representatives, stating that the impeachment of President Biden was unconstitutional, as well as these reasons.
It is the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it's the worst year in 40, 50 years to be in Congress. But I'm leaving because I think there's a job to do out there that I want to go do.
If everything that a political adversary does is met with, you know, an attack that, oh my God, this is, you know, the worst possible thing you can imagine, this is dire, then when you face something that really is dire, like we are facing today with respect to Donald Trump and his efforts to unravel the republic, people become numb to the truth because they feel like, well, we've heard that so many times before from politicians. Well, I know what conservative means, and I think that the most conservative of all conservative values is fidelity to the Constitution. So, you know, there certainly are people today who are caught in this cult of personality, but that's the opposite of conservative.
This primary election is over.
Can they defend the Constitution and also endorse Donald Trump?
No. In my view, you know, fundamentally, there is a choice to be made. You can't both be for Donald Trump and for the Constitution. You have to choose.
Tonight, I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
I don't know that I had ever spoken more than a few sentences to her before she called me and asked me to be on the committee. I learned later that her staff put together for her a list of the top 10 worst things Liz Cheney has ever said about Nancy Pelosi and gave it to her. And she apparently took one look at it and said, why are you bothering me with things that don't matter? Oh, sure. We've all said things about each other that we probably in hindsight wish we hadn't said. Certainly, I think all of us in the Republican Party watched things unfold to some extent before 2020 and said, well, that's, you know, just Donald Trump. You don't have to take it seriously. What we saw that was different post-2020 election was the actual attempt to overturn the election and seize power. Mike Johnson, you know, Mike and I were good friends. But what I learned was that, in fact, he was operating in a way that was dangerous. It was dangerous because what Mike was doing was taking steps that he knew to be wrong, doing things that he knew to have no basis in fact or law or the Constitution. And Mike was willing time and again to ignore the rulings of the courts, to ignore what state and federal courts had done and said about the elections in these states in order to attempt to do Donald Trump's bidding. Absolutely. You know, we're facing a situation with respect to the 2024 election where it's an existential crisis, and we have to ensure that we don't have a situation where an election that might be thrown into the House of Representatives is overseen by a Republican majority. I believe very strongly in those principles and ideals that have defined the Republican Party, but the Republican Party of today has made a choice, and they haven't chosen the Constitution. And so I do think it presents a threat if the Republicans are in the majority in January 2025. He's told us what he will do. People who say, well, if he's elected, it's not that dangerous because we have all of these checks and balances, don't fully understand the extent to which the Republicans in Congress today have been co-opted. One of the things that we see happening today is a sort of a sleepwalking into a dictatorship in the United States.
Donald Trump a fascist?
I think that he certainly is employing fascist techniques. I think that the tools that he's using are tools that we've seen used by authoritarians, fascist tyrants around the world. You know, the things that he has said and done in some ways are so outrageous that we have become numb to them. What I believe is the cause of our time is that we not become numb, that we understand the warning signs, that we understand the danger, and that we ignore partisan politics to stop him.
Republican Mitt Romney had this to say about no Bibles from Trump.
And I do believe that the majority of our caucus, of the Republican senators, believes that we should play an active role in the world and that we should defend freedom in places where it's under attack. I think, for instance, if Taiwan were attacked, you'd see the great majority of the Republican senators say we need to help Taiwan, want to give it weapons so it can defend itself. I believe that if there's a plain vote just to give weapons to Ukraine, the Republican senators will support that. Some were unhappy with support for the government of Ukraine, didn't want to vote for the Ukraine funding on that basis. But I think the majority of our group feels that we are better off in America if we defend the cause of freedom around the world. Otherwise, bad people, terrible authoritarians like Vladimir Putin, are going to ultimately attack NATO nations, and we're going to be required by treaty to send our own soldiers into harm's way. Or we can walk away from NATO and blow up an alliance which has helped preserve global peace among the major powers for the last 75 or 80 years. If we don't pass aid for Ukraine, then I think Ukraine has a very difficult time preserving their geographic integrity and life. You're going to have a lot of people who lose their life as Russia runs across Ukraine. And that will make it very clear to people around the world that you really can't trust America's word, because we made a commitment in 1994 to respect the sovereignty of Ukraine, to help defend the people of Ukraine if they were attacked. And that's what's happening. And if we walk away from that, they won't trust our word. Europe will say, hey, the United States is not with us. We're not going to be with them if there's something they want to do in the Pacific. For instance, let them deal with China. Let America deal with China and the issues there. So we're strong globally, in part because of our friends. We have alliances. We always talk about how the Russians and the Chinese don't have the kinds of friends we have. Well, we have friends in part because we stand together. And if we don't stand with our friends, we will lose strength, and that will ultimately come to hurt us. It happens to be as accurate as it is irrelevant. All right, it may not change their stance on the battlefield. What it does do is communicate to the entire world that we honor our commitments, and we stand with our friends, and we will help freedom fighters around the world who are our friends and allies. And that's a message which is important to the people in Taiwan, to the people in Japan, to the people in India, to the people in Europe. I mean, all these people are watching to see, can you count on America? Or is America so isolationist it doesn't care what happens to the rest of us? If that's the case, by the way, if we cede leadership, if we're no longer the leader of the free world, if we're no longer the arsenal of democracy, then the world is going to look for different leaders. And I know at least one player that's happy to step into that role, and that's China. And a world where Xi Jinping is the leader of the world is a very dangerous world, and not good for America, not good for our businesses, for our economy, but certainly not good for our freedom. And Vladimir Putin will not stop. He may take some time to rebuild his military because it's been decimated by the ill-considered attack on Ukraine. But he will ultimately go after other nations in the Baltics, Latvia, Lithuania, potentially Poland. Those are possibilities. Georgia. I mean, he will continue. He has indicated he wants to rebuild the Russian Empire, if you will. And those are NATO nations. We're obligated under treaty to come to their defense. We are... It would be penny wise and pound foolish to say we're not going to help Ukraine with weapons when the next step is a place where under treaty we would be obligated to help with not just weapons and funds, but blood. And we need to make sure that the world knows we will stand with Ukraine. I can't guarantee, as J.D. Vance indicates, that this is going to mean that Ukraine is successful on the battlefield. But I can guarantee it shows the world that we'll stand by our friends. Enter into the mind of Donald Trump. And understand his perspectives. I think he shows more respect for Vladimir Putin than Vladimir Putin deserves. Donald Trump has said some strange things like, well, okay, Putin has killed some people, but our president's killed people too. It's like, yeah, but our president's still killed their political opponents and members of the media, all right? Our presidents may take us to war to protect our freedom and our interests as we understand them. That's very different than murdering political opponents and murdering members of the media and incarcerating journalists. These are the things Vladimir Putin does, and attacking a sovereign nation, Ukraine, without provocation and killing tens of thousands of people, kidnapping children. This is a very bad guy, based upon our values, and I think the values that are shared by people throughout the world. And I think it's fine for a president and a former president to talk to leaders of other nations, but be clear-eyed. Vladimir Putin is a very bad person. I don't necessarily agree with that. That's a good campaign line, I'm sure. But, I think he can win. I mean, today it's kind of a toss-up. But if the election were actually held today, I think he'd probably win. I can't tell what's going to happen over the next 9 months or so. But, a dramatic change in our foreign policy. I think the people around the world say, okay, America is no longer the leader of the free world and the arsenal of democracy. It's not the shining city on a hill. It's now an isolated island. How bad he's been. Foreign policy front, it would be a dramatic departure from our posture over the last 75 or 80 years that, by the way, has not only kept us safe and free from attack, but has also allowed us to build an extraordinarily strong economy and have a income per person in America about a third higher than people in Europe. Factors are deciding who I want to have as the leader of my country and the person who is the example of the president for my kids and my grandkids. One is their position and policies. And on foreign policy, I'm not aligned with Donald Trump, at least as I understand his policy. On domestic policy, yeah, I align with many of his domestic policies. But there's another dimension besides policy, and that's character. And I think what America is as a nation, what has allowed us to be the most powerful nation on earth and the leader of the earth, is the character of the people who have been our leaders, past presidents, but also mothers, fathers, church leaders, university presidents, and so forth. Having a president who is so defaulted of character would have an enormous impact on the character of America. And for me, that's the primary consideration.
Pat McCurdy on the insurrection off-ramp. We'll be right back with some more news and an update on the April Fool's Day parade right here on the insurrection off-ramp.
Live in a world with an expiration date.
Every day, there is more pollution being accumulated.
Every day there are new animals going extinct.
Every day there are more changes in our climate.
There are heat waves, there are insufferably hot summers.
And many dry woods are creating immense fires.
The polar ice caps are melting, creating hurricanes.
All of this is happening because we don't take care of our earth.
Because we allow people and their corporation to continue to harm the earth.
But what can we do about it?
We can switch to LED light bulb.
Cars that are run on electricity.
Well, what if we can't afford all of this? It's all the little things that count.
Lights. You can turn on the lights in the room and unplug appliances that aren't in use.
By reducing the use of plastic, we can create less pollution, as well as give our recycled plastic to recycling centers and get paid for our contribution.
When you're washing your hands and brushing your teeth, turn off the faucet. You're just wasting up to 4 gallons of water.
We need to continue to learn and find new ways to make a difference for the environment, more affordable to everyone.
We need to make everyone understand that this is a crisis and not the new normal, because COVID shouldn't be the new normal. Waste in rivers, oceans, and creeks should not be the new normal.
Having record-breaking heat waves should not be the new normal. We need to make a change.
And now, Congresswoman and Gun Nut Supreme, Lauren Boebert.
We're going to tell government, we don't want your benefits, we don't want your welfare, don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci-outie, you leave us the hell alone.
And free zones are the most dangerous places in our country. The Second Amendment is absolute and it's here to stay. A recent report states that Americans own 46% of the world's guns. I think we need to get our numbers up, boys and girls.
And now, here's the ex-president of the United States, adjudicated rapist and Bible salesman, Donald Trump.
The people, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
Texas Congressman Chip Roy with some truth about the border.
18, we have the House, we have the Senate, we have the White House, and we had a bigger majority than we have today, and we utterly failed to secure the border.
Adjudicated rapist, ex-president, and Bible salesman Donald Trump, how he felt about former Vice President Mike Pence, and here's what he had to say.
Although he did announce the other day that he'd much rather see Biden as president, and I agree with him,
I agree.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Escaped prisoner Skyler Mead and the accomplice, a recently released inmate named Nicholas Uppenauer, both members of the Aryan Knights gang, were arrested in Twin Falls, Idaho on Thursday afternoon. Their arrests came 36 hours after Uppenauer shot and wounded two Idaho corrections officers as they were preparing to return Mead to prison from a hospital, police said. Investigators said Thursday that while on the run, Mead and Uppenauer may have been responsible for the deaths of two men, one in Nez Perce County and the other in Clearwater County, both in northern Idaho, about 7 hours away from where they were arrested. Coroners on Friday identified the victim in Nez Perce County as James L. Mounty, 83, of Julietta, reported missing on Wednesday when he left home in a silver Chrysler Pacific minivan to take his two dogs, a white Jack Russell Terrier and a brown Chesapeake Bay Retriever, to a walking path. Idaho State Police returned the dogs to the family. The victim in Clearwater County was Gerald Don Henderson, 72, who was found dead outside his cabin near Orofino. "I can't understand the senseless murder of this beautiful man," Henderson's partner Ron Thompson told the Associated Press on Friday. "Such a senseless, senseless thing to do." Thompson said he and Henderson met Uppenauer about a decade ago. Uppenauer, who was then in his late teens, was not getting along with his father, Thompson said, and he stayed at the cabin with Henderson and Thompson for about a month. "Living with Uppenauer was frightening," Thompson said, "because he would always talk about shooting people." Thompson said Henderson met through a dating site in 2006, and had been a life partner since, though Thompson moved out of the cabin in 2015 and resettled in Seattle because he grew tired of the isolated area. Henderson, who was 17 years older than Thompson, had difficulty sharing publicly that they were a couple in conservative Idaho, and the two never married. "It was not unknown that we were a couple, we just never talked about it," he said. "They dreamed of moving back in together," he went on to say. About a month ago, Uppenauer, fresh out of prison where he served time on theft and gun convictions, trudged to the deep snow to spend an hour at the cabin with Henderson, drinking coffee and talking. Henderson felt uneasy about the visit and wasn't sure why Uppenauer had come, Thompson said. On Wednesday, when Thompson learned that Uppenauer had been linked to Meade's escape from the hospital, he grew worried and called the sheriff's office to request that the deputies check in on Henderson. The deaths are still under investigation. That about wraps it up on the Off-Ramp with Pat McCurdy. Insurrection detection and mood music to deprogram you from your cult. Thanks for joining us, and we'd like to point out one of the big lies. This is the biggest. Anytime Donald Trump says that Biden and his people are after him, that's BS. Everybody on this tape today was a Republican. These are his own people that are turning on him and testifying against him. Until next time, make sure you live the good life and sleep in the streets. Pat McCurdy for the Off-Ramp.
That's all, folks.